Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her.
Verbum Domini.
It's one of the most beautiful scenes in all of sacred scripture and all of human history, this scene between Jesus and Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Jesus had risen from the dead, but Mary needed likewise to be resurrected, and that happens here. She was staying outside of the tomb weeping. Her sorrow had blinded her. She probably had a very difficult time over the previous 40 plus hours. Going back over Jesus' words would have stung too much, his multiple predictions that on the third day he would rise. She just didn't want to accept it. She thought it was more likely the incredible hypothesis that somebody had come and stolen his naked body on the Sabbath and dragged a naked body against Roman law across the city. I mean, it made no sense. But nevertheless, her sorrow had so eclipsed the light of reason that that's all that she could sense. And when these two men in dazzling white, which should have been a sign for her, had asked, not in an inquisitive way, but likely with a great surprise and smile, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She still couldn't see through it. All she knew was they had taken her Lord, and she didn't know where he was, where they had placed him. She didn't even recognize Jesus' voice, even though his appearance had changed, when he asked that same question, "And for whom are you looking?" And then she said something literally preposterous in her sorrowful state. "If you've carried him away, tell me where you laid him and I will take him." And that's when the good shepherd, who calls each of his sheep by name, got his very, very good sheep to recognize that the shepherd was back. The shepherd was in her presence and that she had it all. Mary. And she wanted to cling on to him because she was never going to lose him again. But in his risen state, Jesus was going to be able to remain with us always, even when we were on the move. And so he made her the first apostle of his resurrection. What an incredible gift this was that Jesus gave to her. We remember in the fall what happened. An angel, in this case a fallen one, went to a woman, and then she went to a guy. And Jesus was going to recapitulate and restore the old order when two angels And then Jesus, as the divine messenger of the Father, would appear to a woman and then send them to the apostles, send them to men. He was reconstituting the whole order. I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And she went and she gave the classic Christian proclamation, the kerygma, I have seen the Lord. And that's what started all the apostles running. That's what has started the church running. Running to the Lord, and then running from the Lord to say, I have seen him, I have heard him, I have touched him, he has fed me, he has changed my life. It's important that we enter into the scene deeply, because a lot of the times the sorrows of the present can likewise eclipse for us that the Lord Jesus, the same Lord Jesus who appeared to her, is always at our side. When Jesus gave that parable of the seed and the sower, he said that the thorny soil can be worldly preoccupations and pleasures. Our own sorrows can likewise make us opaque to the Lord's presence. Even while we weep, because blessed are the mournful, they shall be consoled. Even when we weep, we're supposed to be weeping in the presence of the Lord, weeping with the Lord, rather than alienated from the Lord. Everything now changes in the Lord with his resurrection. And as Pope Francis said in his beautiful exhortation, we know that life with Jesus is totally different, that to walk with him is totally different than to walk without him. To build the world on him is a totally different task than to build it by our own lights. And that the essential Christian proclamation is always that Jesus is with us, he's at our side, comforting us, illuminating us, strengthening us, lifting us from the dead, saving us, forgiving us, and sending us forth. During this Easter season, it's important for us to be able to go and both say and show that we have seen the Lord, and that he has come into our presence, and that he has left the empty tomb precisely to take up his abode in us. First reading today, we see what happens in the risen life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, following up on this whole mystery of Easter, Jesus' resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, talked about Jesus' resurrection in such a way in which everybody said, what then are we to do, my brothers? Very practical. When people were to see somebody living in a different way, somebody living fearlessly, because if Jesus rose from the dead after people crucified him, what should anyone ever fear from that point onward? And Jesus told them to turn away from their old way of life, be baptized, and to allow that newness of life St. Paul was describing for us on the Easter Vigil, or describing yesterday that new life where we seek the things that are above, to live in this new way in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus. That's the way we will be saved from a corrupt generation, which is always decomposing, because the Lord at the same time wants the power of his resurrection to recompose and to raise us from the dead. People accepted that message. They turned it around. They started to live in a new way. What happens during this Paschal mystery by the Lord's gift of mercy is meant to do something just as great as what happened with Mary on Easter Sunday and happened with these 3,000 on Pentecost. The Lord's mercy isn't just wiping something away. It's transforming a reality to something totally better. This is something we have to grasp. We pray to the Lord at the end of the sequence before the Gospel, turning to our Victor King, and we asked him, Miserere, have mercy on us. And that mercy is totally transformative. At the Easter Vigil, we sang in the prayer after the first of all those Old Testament readings what is said when the water is mixed in wine at Mass, and what's said in the collect on Christmas Day, that the Lord wonderfully made creation, but even more wonderfully has made the new creation. That we are better after having received his mercy after sin, stronger in a greater union than ever we would have if we had never sinned. That's why we can sing out, oh, happy fault that brought us such a great Redeemer. That the Lord is going to strengthen us so much more by his mercy, as St. Ambrose would say, than if we had always been faultless. That his mercy strengthens us and improves us. And that's why we're able to give such a witness. And so today, as we come forward, to allow the Lord to continue to work that transformation, even more wonderfully to recreate us, we go to this same Jesus who met Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday, and we say to him, our soul waits for you, O Lord, you who are our help and our shield. May your kindness be upon us who have put our hope in you, just like it was on Mary, who never lost her hope. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Alleluia.